Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Snacks, beverages, roasted peanuts, and the pickle bar where Buhner has been there discussing the Aaron Hernandez case all day. Buhner. I want to try the pickle bar badly. You quit?
No, I'm listening intently. You want to try the pickle bar?
Yeah, you've mentally checked out. You're the one that during the break said, I wish I could take the summer off. I'm like, what the heck? What kind of statement was that?
No, they were talking about the, legislature getting ready to take the summer. Sarah was talking about the ready to take the summer off. It's not a bad idea. I like that.
No, I don't. I like working.
I miss the days where you in school where the summer was June to August. Then, you get into high school and reality kicks in.
I'm here at the Chateau.
You asked, all right?
Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilshire's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilshire's General Store. Go to www.hilshirestore.com.
Can I rant early?
Just hold on. I'm not done yet. Hilshire's General Store is located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 to 15. The bottom line is I care far more about the sponsors than you do.
I love Hilshire's General Store. I told you before. I went down there a couple of weeks ago, got one of those hamburger presses. I'm good for the summer now.
It's all about your rant. All about your rant. I understand that. Go ahead. Tell everybody Danny Sullivan was the last winner of Pocono.
Yeah, you looked it up. Danny Sullivan was the last winner at Pocono.
No, I didn't look it up. I remember from the last time we did the show. I thought of it during the news when, okay. Mr. Spin Around.
Spin to win. That's right.
I think, if I recall correctly, A.J. Foyt has won there more than anybody. He's won, I think, 4 times.
That is correct. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm 90% sure you're right. Mario, I know, won one for sure.
Yeah, but I think A.J. won there 4 times. I mean, they haven't run the dang thing there since, 1989. Yeah. All right, go ahead, rant. Obviously, we can't keep the caged animal any longer.
This is related to the conversation you had with Dave Paulson about the NBA draft. And specifically, with all the trades and the way the NBA handles it during the draft, it makes no sense to me that I believe it was the Mavericks that actually picked Mike Muscala for Atlanta. Why, one, are they making the pick? If you trade the pick, just trade the pick and let Atlanta make the pick of whoever they want. Why does Atlanta have to call going, hey, I think you got to pick this guy for us? What if you make the deal and the guy you want isn't there? Then what happens? Does the trade just go away? Why can't they do it the way the NFL does it? And just swap the pick. Just say, okay, here you go. Atlanta, you're on the clock. Go get them.
Because the free agent signings, for example, and how they clear cap space can't be done until July 10th.
And that was going to be the next question I had. Why the 10 days? But I think you just answered that.
That's why I'm here.
It's still dumb.
What's dumb about it? He knows he's going to Atlanta. And Atlanta knows they have him.
But why can't you just do it and be done with it? Why do you have to wait 10 days? I mean, I understand what you're saying, but why not work it out that you just make the trade the way the NFL does and Atlanta's on the clock? Here you go.
Well, the reason is because of the free agency part. mean, they don't want the draft to be held. You know, it's right after the end of the regular season. There's not a gap between the end of the regular season, the playoffs, and the draft like there is in the NFL. Next year, the Super Bowl is going to be, what, February 2nd, 3rd, whatever the draft is, and until May 8th. Here, the NBA season ended last, Thursday night? So 1 week later, they had the draft. Well, that means for everybody involved in the league, you know, it's a shorter clock to deal with. And because it's a shorter clock to deal with, they want that 10-day gap put in the collective bargaining agreement between July 1 and July 10 before, like, for example, the Celtics are going to trade Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Jason Terry to the Brooklyn Nets in exchange for nothing. But they can't do it until July 10th.
The problem.
Because of the free agent rules. I mean, Dwight Howard. I mean, one of the reasons Dallas did not want a draft choice last night, they drafted Kelly Olynyk in the first round with the idea they were shipping him to Boston. And Boston made a pick of a foreign player, which is exactly what Dallas wanted, because they can store that kid away in the Lithuanian D League, and he means nothing to the cap because they want to sign Dwight Howard. And Howard probably has it down logically between Dallas and Houston. Now, I know Mike Muscala fans are saying, well, gee, I heard Atlanta as well. I'd say Atlanta, even though it's Howard's hometown, it's probably out of it. And the biggest reason why is the tax issue. In California, for example, I believe the state income tax, I think is up like 13% for his bracket. In Texas, where Houston and Dallas happen to be, there's no state income tax.
I was going to say, it's not going to cost you anything.
Yeah, there's no state income tax. So, you know, so that's why Dallas had to play the game that they did last night, including Mike's pick, because they didn't want anybody on their cap. They don't want anybody on the cap at all. They want the complete freedom to go after Dwight Howard as a free agent. Turns out he's their target, the guy that they want. Well, there's a buffer put in. You know, as we saw with LeBron James a few years ago, there's a buffer put in because the offseason is far more compressed in the NBA than it is in the NFL. You're saying the NFL, they can just swap picks or whatever. There's such a gap between the championship game in the first week of February and the draft, which is now going to be May 8th. That's an incredible gap to have. And the free agent, you know, it's the free agent signing period starts, what, in March? Something like that. Well, in the NBA, it's far more compressed. You know, the end of the playoffs, the championship game, game seven was on a Thursday. You have your draft coming up the next Thursday, and you have free agency. So you have to build in some gaps. So you have to play a couple of games with the draft to make all of it work.
Just gets really confusing to watch the draft, figuring out, okay, my team is picking who and why. What are we getting for that? I mean, there was a point where I don't even think the four guys on ESPN had any idea who was going where.
Well, it takes a little time, but for example, when Nerlens Noel was drafted, I thought to myself, there's no way the New Orleans Pelicans are keeping him. And then they made the Drew Holiday trade where Holiday's going to eventually end up with the Pelicans, and Noel is going to join Michael Carter Williams, who is his AAU teammate. They'll be together in Philadelphia.
So did the Sixers call up and say, as the pick, right before the pick's being made, hey, we want to make a deal? And here's who we want you to pick. Is that the way it works?
No. New Orleans and Philadelphia probably got together and started talking. And they say, what would it take, you know, if X is available or Y is available, because it still has to be an either or. You only have a few minutes to do this. If X or Y is available, you know, what would it take to pry that pick away from you? And they tell you Drew Holiday. Now, because Holiday technically can't get there yet, because of the rules, right? You have to make the pick for them.
So that pick was by Cleveland was a sole intent of trading.
New Orleans, rather.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now look at the Muscala pick in round two.
Dallas does not want.
Right.
Okay, they're trying to keep their cap completely cleared.
Right. Now, I understand, but my question is, the GM of Dallas is on the phone. He's got the pick. Does he have Atlanta on the line going, hey, here's who we want you to choose?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's why I wondered if that's the way it worked.
Atlanta told them, look, okay, this is where we are now. Maybe 2-3 picks out. These are our three options, A, B, and C. Boom. They go through. All of a sudden, they get to 45. A was Muscala to begin with. Then they just tell Dallas, look, Mike's still there. We want you to pick Mike. Okay, great. So Dallas picks Mike for them.
That was the most confusing draft I've ever seen.
Oh, I don't know. I've been through so many of them, it all seemed normal to me.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think that is probably the second NBA draft I've watched for more than 3 minutes.
And now, next year is a different kind of draft. Next year, there are 7 to 9 potential all-stars in the draft. It's deep and it's talented. And expect the Canadian kid Wiggins, who's going to be going to Kansas, expect him to be the first overall pick.
I also like all these picks of players that, well, frankly, teams aren't even sure if they're ever going to get.
Oh, they get them eventually.
Well, but
like, take Ricky Rubio. Ricky Rubio spent 2 years in Spain and then eventually went to the Minnesota as planned out. I mean, they don't lose their draft rights to those players.
I do have to admit, one of the things I did think was funny was the relationship between the fans and the commissioner.
We've had to explain to our international audience that the boo is an American sign of respect.
Well, he was great with that last night.
He was.
And then when he got the 30th pick, his last one, all the fans got up and gave him a standing ovation. Now, that was, they set it up all night. And then when it came to the moment of true appreciation, they gave him a standing out.
This concludes the first round, my 30th first round, which is approximately 900 picks. And I want to thank the fans here in Barclays Center for your hospitality and enthusiasm. And let me say what a privilege it's been to do this for the last 30 years.
He made 839 of those picks, starting with Hakeem Olajuwon. But it was funny, in years gone by, he'd be booed, 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 right? And then Adam Silver would come out as the deputy commissioner and handle round two, and everybody would cheer.
Yeah. I heard that too.
Last night they gave Stern at the end of the standing ovation. When Silver came out, they booed him.
They booed him. So at least he's going to feel comfortable,
Right.
But yeah, this actually happened before the pick.
Stop it. You're ruining all the fun.
He did handle it very, very well, I have to admit.
Oh, no. He had fun with it all night. He egged them on. No, he had fun with it all night. And that's the right way to handle it. And the fans understood that. The fans understood. That's why they reacted to him.
But
no, it was all part of the fun.
Well,
it's not like Gary Bettman.
Yeah, that's what I was
Bettman
just going to say.
Bettman, as you can tell, the fans just flat out don't like him.
Right. That's what I was just about ready to say. It would not work that way with some commissioners, and he would be one.
I mean, Goodell got a little bit of bad reaction last year because of the impending problems, But for the most part, he's fine. Bud Selig, he would get the same reaction too. The fans just don't.
Well, Stern, I would give that to Bud Selig too.
Stern took the NBA out of a dark period. Now, he got lucky. He got lucky because, he stepped in right when Bird and Magic were riding the NBA ship, and his first draft was the Olajuwon Michael Jordan draft, David Stern. So he got lucky that Bird and Magic were taking them out of a bad era and a bad image time and changing the image of the league. But he did a lot of things along the way that made the league better. Expanded for the most part to the right markets. The collective bargaining agreement, people will tell you right now, is better than any collective bargaining agreement they've ever had. The one that caused so much consternation. You know, the hand checking thing is now out, which has made a better free flowing game. He's done a marvelous job. I think Goodell has done a really good job.
Well, he had big shoes to fill, though.
Yeah, but Bettman's, I mean, Goodell's done really well. Bettman.
Too many stoppages.
Too many lockouts, and that's not going to be good for the game. Too many lockouts.
And Bud Selig just hasn't done anything to change baseball in any positive way.
Well, that you're wrong about that. Okay, they very quietly negotiated a new collective bargaining agreement. I think it was a year ago. Right, or 2 years ago, that nobody knew about. Right, you have to give them a lot of credit for that. There's no stoppage in baseball.
Well, that's
and a lot of people did, and a lot of people did not know that they very quietly went about their business and they hammered out a new collective bargaining agreement that led to not even remotely close to a stoppage. They weren't even close to the clock, and they just went out and quietly got it done. There's something to be said for that. There may be other things we have issues with him about, but as a fan, you can't have an issue about that because there's no stoppage in Major League Baseball right now because he took care of it already. You're not going to get a lockout. You're not going to get a strike because he took care of it in conjunction with the Players Association. Something to be said for that. Come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. So let the sizzling summer sales event get you fired up. With a 2002 Lincoln LS four-door sedan, call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. A 2005 Ford Freestar wagon, the minivan that can do it all for just $79.91. 2011 Ford Fiesta SE 13426. Ford Fusion four-door sedan, $14,991. 2011 Chevy Equinox, four-wheel drive limited, $22,940. And a 2011 Hyundai Tucson, four-wheel drive. Call for price, 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome. I mean, do you have a second rant for 440, or was that the rant?
No, that was the rant. I just thought it was a little confusing and too confusing on how they actually did the draft.
But you were talking to the draft.
Well, you were talking about Bud Selig earlier. The problem that I have is I can't get over 94, 95, 96. I haven't been able to get past that with him.
Well, that 94 did exponential damage to the sport. Did exponential damage to it. You're right in the middle of a great race and the whole thing, and all of a sudden everything gets shut down and you get nothing. You don't have playoffs or World Series. There's no champion. And
95 had minor league players.
Yeah, until they get the whole thing done, hammered out. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the one thing I'll give the NHL. At least they didn't try and put a less of a quality product on the ice.
Neither did the NBA.
Right. I mean, you were trying to sell me Major League Baseball with, no offense to minor league players, but minor league baseball.
Yeah, but that was in spring training. That wasn't in a regular season game.
I understand that.
That's a big difference.
But you mean to tell me that wasn't going to happen if they didn't get anything fixed? They weren't going to go right ahead with it?
I'm not so sure they made that decision.
No.
Not so sure that decision was made. There's a couple of players actually came out of, like, Brian Dombach and guys like that were actually weren't that bad and actually made major league teams. But
you can say the same thing years ago for the NFL, too, when they had the
they did it the one time, yeah.
Players, yeah.
Yeah, they did it the one time. That was a botch. Everybody knows it. That was a three-game botch. You know, it's you make mistakes. Now, it's how you learn from your mistakes as to the kind of progress you make. Right? You can be hard on Bud Selig for 1994, and you're justified. But at the same time, did he learn from the mistake and negotiate a contract quietly away from everybody else that keeps the game going? The last contract he negotiated, the answer is yes. Takes a big man to learn from his mistake when he looks at the big picture and does something like that.
The other question I always have to ask is, was there enough stuff, or was there enough done with the steroid issue? And how much damage is that done to baseball?
Yeah, but you're limited. Okay, you're limited, Kevin. It depends on what the collective bargaining agreement says. You know, when you're a commissioner, you still have your hands tied by the CBA. You just can't go out and say, this is what we're doing, because the union's going to call you on it like that. So it depends on what was negotiated and what the language says as to what he can or can't do. That's not his power.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. We roll on here. I believe baseball's collective bargaining agreement was extended, through 2016. It was done so last year.
Well, that's good. I'll give him credit for that then. I was unaware of the fact that he had gotten it done early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most recent agreement was finalized November 22nd, 2011, will last until December 1st, 2016. So very quietly after the 2011 season. That's when it was done.
No truth to the rumor that his new PR campaign is proud to be your bud?
Oh, boy. You're consumed with hate.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. Treat your waitress as well.
Thank goodness it's Friday. By the way, don't forget the veal.
That's right. Don't forget the veal. Try the veal.
Try the veal, everybody. Try the veal. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, beverages, snacks, pickle bar. You love the warm roasted peanuts.
Freshly roasted.
Hilster's General Store sponsors the hotline, 800-795-9565. Sitting here in the Sunbury Motors Studio. I was talking to somebody today. They were telling me that youth baseball in some parts of this country, down 30% in participation.
Really? That's a surprise to me. What are they attributed to?
Well, part of it happens to be other sports. Some play spring soccer.
Other activities.
Yeah. Lacrosse has now made a big push.
That's true.
And Something that I do not think is an issue in youth baseball that's an issue in the major league level is pace of play. I don't think that's an issue in youth baseball. I don't think kids mind that so much, pace of play. Pace of play is not so bad in youth baseball. I mean, it depends. I mean, if you're at a lower level and tonight's final score was 22-21, well, yeah,
right.
Pace of play.
I was just about to say.
But when you get to the A level, when you get to the A level, you have your fair share of 7-4, 4-3, 5-2 games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you to a point. When you get into All-Star time, especially like we're in now, a lot of the All-Star games are more competitive. When you get into regular league play and you get into these 7-inning games, especially in the senior division, senior division, it can be really grueling.
Your son's, what, 13, 14?
Yeah, he's 14, yeah.
Okay. This is what I discovered in coaching, and I think I brought this up to Lance Van Auken the other day because they're trying to put in that 70-foot.
I like that idea a lot.
Yeah, I do too. Base limit. I said the two toughest times I ever coached were 9-year-old when the kids could pitch to each other for the first time. That's an adventure. Now, the last half of the season is not, but by the time you get to the last half of the season, you get some guys that can, they know how to handle it. And then when they become 13 years old and they go to the big field, suddenly you're going from 60-foot bases to 90. Suddenly you're going from a 46-foot mound and a pitch to 60 feet 6 inches. It's more than finding pitchers that can pitch. You have to find a catcher that can make the throw down there. You have to find a shortstop and a third baseman that can make a throw across the diamond.
Third baseman's the challenge.
Shortstop, that's a longer throw. Shortstop's a longer throw than third base.
I found the challenge is third base.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not a longer throw, but usually you'll have one player that you feel comfortable with at shortstop. It's that second player that is old enough and has a strong enough arm to be able to go to third. That's where I think the problem is, finding two guys.
Right. A lot of teams will do is they'll take the guy that's their number one pitcher and that ends up being their shortstop.
Exactly.
You know, which I understand, but it's a tough, I struggle. The two times I had to do 13-year-olds, I struggle. When I had 14 and 15-year-olds, man, we did great. Because at that point they really know how to play. I felt like I did less managing. And just let the games play out. Didn't do a whole bunch of things. Didn't do a whole lot of stealing, hit and run. We'll bunt the guy over. Just let them play. Because they know how to play. Now, admittedly, one of the teams I had was so good that, you know, whatever. I mean, the one thing I made sure when I showed up was I didn't screw it up.
That makes coaching a lot easier.
Yeah. I mean, it just were really, really good. You just kind of put a lineup together, make sure your lineup is balanced. You know, I want to have a certain kind of guy in my leadoff spot. I want a certain kind of guy in my 3-4-5 spot. And I want a certain kind of guy in my 9 spot. After that, you just go from there. And I just had some real players. I had one kid that played for Slippery Rock. I had one kid that played for St. Norbert's.
I think the biggest issue with that intermediate 13, 14-year-old division and the field size is the fact that a lot of these little leagues are strapped for money. So you basically have to build an additional field in your complex.
You do. Oh, no, you do.
And that's the real tough part.
That's why there's a guy here that's doing something called Diamonds Are Forever. I said, you sure you don't work for Jared? He says, no. He's doing a fundraiser, Diamonds Are Forever, because he wants better fields built across the state. He thinks that'll make a difference because let's face it, there's some places that you go where you have pristine fields. And there are other places that you go where they shoot the barnyard animals out, you know, from grazing, so you go play the game. You know, there's a lack of consistency with that. And some places are absolutely pristine. Some places are not. It's yesterday, for example, I can't remember who called the show, but they were calling about why soccer is so popular worldwide. And I said, look, the bottom line is all you need is a ball.
That was Buzz.
Yeah, it was Buzz. And that's all you need is a ball. you can set up two posts to be a goal. Something. Two barrels, two whatever. I mean, most of the world does not have the means that we have. Not even close. I mean, we may sit here and talk about how we're struggling economically right now. It's a struggle in economic times. So, you know, 76% of the households in this country are living paycheck to paycheck. But there are other places around the world where they'd love to see that paycheck. So, yeah, and one thing about Little League, it's an all-volunteer thing, and they don't take any state money, any federal money, or anything like that, which is terrific. Same thing with Pioneer Basketball that's around here. But there are some parts in Little League. I think with Lance said it was, what, down 5 to 10% from 10 years ago?
I can't remember the exact number, but that sounds about right.
Yeah, 5 to 10%.
I mean, I thought that was just a local thing. I didn't realize that was as widespread. I mean, I know locally in the leagues that I've been involved in, the numbers are down a little bit. And as you said, I think a lot of it has to do with, especially in Danville, with lacrosse. Lacrosse has gained a lot of popularity. Spring soccer is a challenge, but I think a lot of times kids were able to play spring soccer and baseball at the same time. And here's the other thing. I noticed over the last decade in being involved in youth sports at different sports, it's a lot easier. It seemed a lot easier to have one of your children in multiple sports. But now with two and three children families, it's pick one sport because that's all we can get you to as parents.
I didn't have to do multiple. All of them played Little League. And there was one year I was coaching all three of them. And the reason I did that was because I just wanted to be with them. It had nothing to do with anything else. I just wanted to be active with them. And it turned out along the way, by being active with them, I was also active with a lot of other kids on each of those teams. And it means a lot to me. I mean, a lot, when one of them comes back and, you know, says, "Mr. Jones, remember me?" That they had a great experience with it.
Oh, I absolutely love that. There's nothing better to have one of your players come out and after 5 or 6 years, you see him move up into a different level or maybe even into high school and yell as you're walking down the street, "Hey, coach," that's a great feeling. Yeah. Because it you feel like you've made an impact there in some small way. Or yeah. I had one player, and it meant so much to me. I actually teared up a little bit myself, I had to admit. It was well after the season ended. He was in All-Stars. And it was one of those players that, you know, worked with an awful lot. He used to get a lot frustrated with me and vice versa, I'm sure. But he called me up after out of the blue, after one All-Star game, telling me about how he did. And I said, "Nick, that's great." I said, "I am so glad you called me." He goes, "I wanted to call you first."
Yeah. Yeah, that means a lot. It means a lot. And that's what it can mean to everybody. It's just, I love the game of baseball so much. You know, and I look at the attendance. Like, for example, State College is not a big market. But, you know, they're still getting like 4,000 a game here. So there's something to it. Now, I've noticed, though, the games this year are longer. Last year, there were some games that were like 210, 205, 220. Almost all the games I've done so far have been 3 hours. I think that in part that's because, you know, there have been a couple games where the Spikes have had 15 to 20 hits. It's just a better team. They had a kid, Jimmy Bosco, the other night go out to Mahoney Valley and became the first Spikes player ever to hit for the cycle.
That's a heck of a night.
So
triples are hard to come by.
Right. And I'm trying to think. I think he tripled in the first, then he homered. I think the last thing he needed was a double, and he got the double. But when I look at the major league level, I know the sport is difficult to begin with. That's why I always laugh when I'm at the U.S. Open, and of course the tradition is, you know, X is going to hit. Shh, quiet. Here's one for you. The ball's not moving. Meanwhile, a guy has to go up and hit. Could be a fastball, could be a sinker, could be a forkball, could be a curveball, could be a knuckle curve, whatever. Could be a slider. And you got 30,000 people doing the wave. It's okay for that.
That's very true.
And I do know that there are just certain things that they can do. And I know that I don't want to take away from the concentration of it. But, you know, and I've talked about this issue before, but does a hitter have to step out of the box every time and readjust their batting gloves?
And everything else.
That's why I've always been a major proponent of 1 foot in the box. You know, you want to look down to your third base coach? Get a read on what they're telling you? Okay? You can take that left foot as a right-handed hitter and step out of the box, look down, boom, get back in. Same thing with pitchers. I mean, and I know there's a traditional, and this is what's been difficult for me because nobody respects tradition more than I do, but every game has changed. I was thrilled when they took the two-line offside pass out of hockey. I just thought it made an exponential difference. Instead of one referee, now you have two. The goalie can only handle the puck in the trapezoid behind the net. That was in existence for a while. Okay? Basketball. Take out hand checking. Well, they put in the three-point shot. NBA already had the shot clock. College basketball went to it and then reduced it from 45 down to 35. No more North Carolina four corners. In the 80s, they vacillated between three-point shot and no three-point shot. They finally settled on the three-point shot in 86. Better for the game. Makes it more popular, more interesting. You know, the NFL's made all these changes to make the passing game the primary mode of matriculating the ball down the field. Took the hash marks, moved them in so they're lined up right with the goalposts. College football took the hash marks, moved them in, divided the field into thirds in width. Changed the blocking rules. You can extend your hands now. Just keep your hands inside the pads. That's not holding. Okay, to make the passing game better. Can't hit a guy now. In college, you can. You can hit a guy anywhere until the ball's in the air. But in the pros, can't hit him beyond 5 yards. It's an automatic. Not only is it a 5-yard penalty, it's an automatic first down. I mean, all these things have been put in to put more juice into every game. Baseball does nothing to put juice in its game. The American League did with the DH, and I know a lot of people disagree with me on the DH. I mean, a lot of people disagree with me on the DH, and I completely understand why. You put 9 guys out there, all 9 guys have to be the ones that hit. And this, of course, changes the dynamics of that by putting an extra player in the game. I completely understand that, and as a traditionalist, I completely understand that. But I've now watched 41 years of the DH. It's a better game. It's not a better game when Roy Halladay's hitting. It's not a better game when Roy Halladay's running the bases. It's just not. It's not a better game. It's a better game when you have guys that can hit, and when you have guys that can run the bases. That's just my opinion. Some people completely disagree with me on this. And I do not want speed baseball. But I also want baseball where, let's be smart about it here. One foot in the box, look down, see what you got to do, boom, get back in, get ready to hit. Pitcher, get up on the mound, let's go. Yeah, I saw Jonathan Pettibone get a hit last night against the Dodgers. That's great. I still don't want to watch him hit. And I definitely don't want to watch him run the bases. And you pay good money, for example, to go to a game. Okay, you pay your money to go to a game. What if Ryan Howard has played 20 consecutive games and you go to the game where it's finally his turn to rest?
That's what always happens to me.
Okay, not going to happen if there's a DH.
True.
Okay, it's not going to happen if he's the DH. He can play 20 games in a row, and his rest day is the DH day. Still in the lineup, and guess what? You as the paying customer still get to see him. Nothing more disappointing for a fan to go to a game and all of a sudden a couple guys are out of the lineup. Especially ones that you really wanted to go see. And that's part of the entertainment of the game. And that kind of option is big. That kind of option is big, not only for a manager and for the player, but it's big for the paying customer, too. A lot of things about it that I think are real positives. The negative is it does take away from the tradition of you put nine guys out there and I got, nine guys out there, nine guys should hit. And you know the odd thing is? I interview players before the game here. And when I've talked to the pitchers and I've asked them about hitting, and they don't hit in the New York Penn League. They don't want to hit. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. As I said, there'll be people that disagree with me on this, and I completely respect that because, I'm a person that loves and respects tradition very, very much. But at the same time, baseball needs to do a few subtle things to get with the times. It's 2013 and not 1913. Look, baseball changed dramatically in popularity when they livened up the ball in 1920. And that's something in the College World Series. College World Series, they're talking about changing the baseball. And they have one ready to go because there were no home runs hit in the College World Series.
That has a lot to do with the bats.
Yeah, it certainly has something to do with the bats, but they said they can change the baseball to maybe change that, to change the bat. They should all be using wooden bats.
From at that Little level, League, yes.
No, from Little League all the way up, they should be using wooden bats. I used a wooden bat.
That's the only reason you want to use a wooden bat. You just want to, no. Because you couldn't use one.
Kevin, I never would have used an aluminum bat. I had the option. I had the option when I was 15 of using an aluminum bat. I was like, I'd rather use a wooden bat.
I'm okay with it in 12 and 13-year-old Little League baseball after that. There's some debate in my mind.
There's no debate in my mind. It comes off the bat too fast. Use wooden bats. Believe me, there's no more expensive to use a wooden bat than an aluminum bat.
That's true.